I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light. The world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. 409. Joe Harrington coming up next hour, 5:30. You spoke to the Oregon team today.
The inspirational win one for the Gipper / Harrington speech.
Yeah, we'll ask him. What was the message? What did you do?
I'm glad there's people that are there for that, because I would be the worst person to give a motivational speech and the worst person to receive one. Was never big into the
Seattle,
the rah-rah sort of thing. Just leave me alone and let me play the game.
Well, Joey will be by at 5:30. We've got setting your college football DVR at 5:15. We're also going to do in the news at 4:30.
I can't wait.
While we not interview Troy Aikman. I'm going to tell you why a middle school football game was canceled.
Oh.
Last night.
In the GNU news?
Up in Kelso, by the way. Your favorite.
Nothing surprises me about Kelso.
Your favorite area.
Yeah, Longview, Kelso. Just stay away. We could somehow just put some curtains up along I-5 so we didn't have to look at it as we drove through. It'd be great.
That'll be at 4:30. Oregon has, I think they said, between football and basketball, they have 6 5-star recruits on campus this weekend.
Yeah, it's a big recruiting weekend for them.
6.
Well, and you want it to be a big game atmosphere, right? I mean, it's a top 10 team in the country. You feel good about it. You feel like maybe you've got this one. And so, yeah, you bring out the big guns for it.
And they're wearing their all yellows. Did you see the big uniform reveal today?
I did see the big uniform reveal.
I don't like those.
You're not a fan of the all yellow?
No.
I like the all green better than I do the all yellow. It's third in my Duck power ranking if we're going just the four colors.
Too much yellow.
All green, love. Dude, I think
you didn't like the all blacks?
No, that's what I'm saying. The all greens were my favorite. I love the Stormtroopers. Then I go black, and then I go yellow. The black's a good look, but it loses points to me because it's not one of your colors.
Well, yeah.
I guess black's everyone's color, but I don't know. There's something about the traditional green. I guess it's not even traditional, but when they go the all green, I love that look. I think that's one of the best looks in college football with the winged helmets.
You know what I like about this game? Meeting number 111 here.
Yeah.
What I like about it, well, actually twofold. One, I think that Oregon, if I were a fan of the Ducks, I would be excited that they're beefing up in the trenches, and you can see that already.
Sure.
Like, that used to be their big bugaboo when you get into big games like this. It's not anymore.
Pro Football Focus has 3 of their offensive linemen as, I think it's 3 of the top 6 in the Pac-12.
Really?
As far as ranking goes.
Dude, that's fantastic.
Well, that's a little skewed because Penei Sewell, he's the best freshman. So 2, and then Sewell's outside of the top 6, but he's the best freshman. And is playing really well. But this line is Lemieux and Throckmorton and Sewell. This line is really starting to come into its own.
And then you look on the other side and see Jelks, but then you see Jordan Scott. And God, man, they just look, you know, I don't know if they're going to win the game. I don't know, you know, where their season goes. I don't know, man. But just looking for foundational building blocks moving forward, Cristobal came in and said, you know, we've got the speed and the flash, but we're going to combine that with some beefing up front. And he's doing that. And that's Look. That's exciting because to me that's sustainable. You know, like that's the difference in why this team, and they got so close, right? I mean, they got so close to winning a national championship, and they played in two national title games. I mean, it's but their kryptonite was when they got up against the Ohio States and the Auburns and the LSUs was the hog mollies.
The Boses and the Nick Fairleys and those games were the difference.
This just feels a little different. It feels like they're really, particularly with the recruiting ends and just the way Mario Cristobal views football and some of these guys are getting a kind of a different level kid there.
If you can,
and that's good.
If you can find a way, and maybe it's just the kid brother angle, but if Justin Herbert sticks around, next year could be a really special year for Oregon because you look up and down, they're too deep, especially on offense. There's not many seniors. I mean, your two best backs this year have been freshmen. You don't have a senior along the offensive line. Most of them are juniors. Sewell's a freshman. Johnny Johnson's a sophomore. Reed's a sophomore. Mitchell's a junior. What's Breland, I think, is a junior too, right? I think he's back. I mean, your entire offense comes back and your defense is young too. Now there's some more there's more seniors, like Hollins is a senior. Dye may end up leaving for the NFL, just like Herbert may. But if everyone comes back, you've got a chance. Amadi's a senior too. But if you get most of these guys to come back, you've got a chance, especially on the offensive side of the ball, to be really, really special. It's almost like this year is it's a sneak preview. If you can get Justin Herbert to come back, I think that's the key in this whole thing. And who knows? Some people think he's, you know, that he's leaning that way.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that. I just think that the big question wasn't recruiting, right? Like they're getting some studs and it's like everybody's like, whoa.
Yep.
The question was, you know, do they have a good enough staff to really coach him up and get the most out of them? So far, so good on that front, wouldn't you say? I mean,
yeah.
I think there were a lot of questions. You had question marks about the offense and Arroyo, but they have looked really well coached and really good. And so I don't know if they're going to win the game, man. But I think that leads to the second thing that's interesting about this game to me is that, you know, with the whole point, you know, like what's his nuts, Browning pointed.
Yeah,
that game. Couldn't everyone feel that Oregon was going to get their ass kicked?
You should have. If you didn't, you were fooling yourself.
I think everyone knew Washington was going to kick their ass.
That was
going to
be
a
bloodbath.
I remember the feeling.
Yeah.
I remember it. I remember betting money on it going, this is a lock. And they hammered them. What I love is that you go into this game. What is that feeling? The feeling is, you know what? They may jump up and bite him and they have a legitimate chance. And it's not just... It's not just wishful thinking.
No, I don't even think it's going to be much of an upset.
Like, that's what's fun.
The spread's 3.5. If Oregon wins this game, I don't think it's a colossal upset. I do think you're looking at the two best teams in the Pac-12 North. And it's on the road, coming off a bye. You have the best player on the field.
I'm just saying it's always fun. So a lot of times you go into these rivalry games, and there were 12 in a row where Oregon was just better and probably going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In the last 2 years, it felt
the Civil War.
The same thing with the.
When was the last time the Civil War was like really that close?
Long time.
You know, I mean, I know Beavers pulled off the upset a couple years ago, and with Gary Anderson, and you know, anything can happen in rivalry games. It's just you get a general feeling going in. It's like, well, you know, probably not the year. This one, it's cool when you get a big rivalry game that is two really good teams that kind of feels like a toss up.
Yeah,
it's like the Pac-12 this year. Feels kind of like the NFL and that there's just a lot of parity. And if you don't show up any given weekend, you can lose. Like, I mean, the Stanford game, God, Oregon kicked their ass, but they didn't play a full four quarters, made a couple of big mistakes, and lo and behold, Stanford got out of there. Do you think Stanford's better than Oregon?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
Not at all.
But they won the game.
Yep.
And it's kind of one of those meetings, and that makes it so much more fun because roll it out there and let's see what happens.
And Oregon has to play better than what they have in the second half. Same thing against Cal. Now, the defense came up with huge plays, but the Oregon offense wasn't great in the second half. And that's the same thing that bit them in the ass against Stanford. You got to play four quarters. You got to make adjustments because UW isn't going to roll over for you. It's a damn good football team coming into Autzen.
Biggest Oregon football game since when?
Oh, probably the national championship game.
Which one? Ohio State?
Yeah, the second one. Because I think it I'm not gonna say that it went off the side of the mountain, but it went pretty quick. So I think this is the biggest
game. Ohio State game, you mean?
Once they lost to Ohio State, the program wasn't the same after that. And so I think this is a chance to really make a statement that you're quote unquote back, kind of like Texas, Oklahoma, that sort of thing. Chance to make a huge statement here.
Yeah, that's what I said last week. Was I think those two games kind of feel like if Texas beats Oklahoma and then if Oregon beats Washington on the national stage, those two schools feel back.
Agreed.
All right, good times. Coming up next. Oh wait, we have one more segment before in the news.
Yeah.
Do you want NBA things? It's a short segment.
Okay.
But I want to talk about it because
I was like, whoa.
I had to talk you into that. I want to talk about it because Pat Riley called Tibbs an MF-er.
Oh, yeah, then yes.
So we need to get to
that. I do want to get to
that. Let's do that. All right, it is 419 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, never forget.
Not from the bottom of the well, Sukanik, as Power Key has got great. What's going on now?
Fantastic.
Well, apparently Dusty did put the lotion in the basket, and he managed to get out of the well on that last phone call.
He used a different phone.
Oh, okay. So he's out of the...
Oh, he did.
That was sales bro Kurt's phone on the last call.
Also, never forget.
You know, we were talking about this earlier in the week, and teams really don't tackle in the fall anyways. How many days would you venture to guess that you would go live anyways?
Coach?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, we're still there.
Sorry about that.
The relief.
You think Levitt's ever fallen asleep during an interview?
Jim Levitt?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. I think
that was Brady Hoke, by the way.
That was Brady Hoke, yes. And if you want to know
Dusty's great moments on the Fan.
The difference between Brady Hoke and Jim Levitt are, there are quite a few, including one falling asleep during an interview.
That's 50% stupid.
Okay. Couple of quick NBA notes, and then we're going to get to in the news. One, how about this? I'm going to blow your mind, and I know it. And I'm speaking specifically to you.
I'm ready.
And maybe some of the listeners. But I know this will blow your mind. Did you know?
Yes.
That
no.
Tony Parker plays for the Hornets?
I did know that.
You did?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
It's impossible.
No, it's not.
I did.
In fact, one of the things that did blow my mind and it made me feel really uncomfortable is during their media day, they tweeted out a photo of Tony Parker in the Hornets jersey. And God, it just looked wrong.
Right.
It's like Emmitt Smith when he played for the Cardinals or when Jerry
Montana.
Rice.
Montana.
Yeah. It's
Chiefs.
It didn't feel right. Tony Parker, at least Montana went to the Chiefs. That's a respected organization. It'd be like if you saw Montana playing for the Carolina Panthers.
There's something about
that teal uniform and Tony Parker. You're like, no, that's not right.
I was blown away. I only found that out today.
Really?
I had no idea he played for the Hornets.
Yeah, he signed a one-year deal with the Hornets.
Two-year deal.
Oh, I thought it was just the one.
2 years, $10
million. Yeah.
No clue.
It's fun fact. It's not good.
I thought he was either done or maybe still. Well, no, he's a little bit younger than like Ginobili and all those guys. I thought he was still with the Spurs, but.
No, he's 36. The Spurs lost another guard today. They've lost two of them now.
Three, I think, right?
Yeah, they're dropping like flies.
They're tanking to get Tim Duncan. they're good at it.
Tim Duncan.
Well, the Spurs tank better than other teams, too.
That is great that the Spurs
and they already got guys dropping like flies.
The Spurs got bad 1 year and they got Tim Duncan and then went on and won an NBA title.
So what I want to tell you is that there was a deal in place for Jimmy Butler to go to the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read this?
This is the Pat Riley FU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did read this.
I saw it. I didn't go into any details on it, but yes, I did see that there was a deal in place and that Thibodeau now, like, did you see his interview today?
Yeah, Tibbs is defiant.
Yeah, Tibbs is like, no, everything's great. Like, well, no lines are crossed. Like, yeah. He's like trying to make this work. Like, he's going to make Jimmy Butler stay in Minnesota.
It's bizarre world. Well, apparently Minnesota was going to get Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters, and a protected first round pick. And they had gone as far as exchanging medical information. I mean, they were the deal was done. Pat Riley hung up the phone, thought the deal was done. Thibodeau calls him back and asked for more, at which point Riley called him an MF-er
now,
and hung up the phone on him.
The other one that I saw today is that he's denying the F-bomb.
Well, of course.
He's saying that he did not tell them to go F themselves.
Yeah, whatever. He did. There's no question. That's Pat Riley, man.
Yes, he issued.
And I love that.
He issued a statement saying that it's not true. And he said he had too much respect for Tom Thibodeau and all that he accomplished in our league to tell him to go F himself. Our conversations have been nothing but cordial, and I've never used that kind of language in a negotiation.
No chance.
Oh, but he did say that he admitted to telling Danny Ainge to go do that.
He did?
Yeah.
When?
I don't know. He just said our conversations have been nothing but cordial. I've never used that kind of language in negotiations, and there was a long pause.
Except.
And he says, but I do admit to telling Danny Ainge to go do that.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. I'm looking to hear and see when he might have told Danny Ainge to go F himself.
Tibbs is such an a-hole. But so is Riley, so.
I guess, this was in, Danny Ainge was, and him were going back and forth when the Heat were playing Boston and how LeBron James was officiated while he was a member of the Heat.
Told him to F off?
Yeah, so Riley and Ainge, they had a spirited little back and forth, and he told him to go F himself. But that goes back when Danny Ainge played against Pat Riley. Remember, Danny Ainge was on those Celtic teams when they were playing against Pat Riley, so I guess they have a little history of telling each other to, go do a number two.
Something tells me Tibbs didn't play.
Yeah, I don't know if Tibbs ever played. Riley was actually a pretty good basketball player.
Okay, coming up next, it's time for In the News. I've got why a local... Well, do you call Kelso local?
Yeah, it's local.
Okay.
It's awful, but it's local.
Why a local middle school football game was canceled last night?
Because it was in Kelso? I don't blame them.
And... a guy who tried to flag down a plane on the tarmac. I'd like to tell you that story.
You've piqued my interest.
So, those items and more coming up next in the news. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, folks. We've got Gio Harrington coming up. 5:30. We'll set your college football DVR. 5:15. High school football tonight. You know, it's a very big sports weekend.
Yeah, we got, what, Major League Baseball playoffs?
Yep. Chiefs-Patriots.
Chiefs-Pats. And then a nice little weekend of college football.
Good little weekend.
I was going to say, maybe the NBA starts, but that starts, what, early next week, 16th?
Right now, though, it is October 12th. Can you believe that?
I can believe it.
2018, time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Here is what is in the news today. A Kelso Middle School football game has been canceled.
No report to the, or truth to report that it was canceled simply because it was in Kelso and no one wanted to be there.
Listen to you. You just pile on now.
I know, it's kind of fun.
Kelso High School also had some shenanigans being moved because of this.
The Kelso Highlanders.
And it was that there was a cougar sighting.
Really?
In the area.
Canceled the game because of a cougar sighting?
They did.
Huh. Seems a bit arbitrary. Would you cancel a game because a cougar was in the area?
I can't say that I would.
Would a cougar really like go after a... That's a large group of people. I would think that the cougar would look at that and see that it was a bit outnumbered.
I don't know if cougars think that way.
I think they do.
But
like if you're in a group of, 300 people, I don't think you're in danger of attack from one cougar, are you?
I don't know. Huh? I mean, can you imagine if the big cat just comes running out and snatches the DB and drags him into the woods? I mean, you don't want that.
No, you don't. But what if that cat makes an interception? Well, you know, like an Air Bud type situation.
Yeah, what if the cat charges out of the woods and everybody freaks out and all it does is grab the football and run off?
Touchdown? You give him six? Well, in an Air Bud type situation, why have Air Bud when you could have a cougar? Can you imagine a gall darn cougar running the football? Good luck tackling that thing. It's like Barry Sanders and Walter Payton had a love child out there running the rock. Disney, give me a call. Let's make this movie.
Well, they're saying that as of this morning, they had not found the kitty.
I hope they don't. I don't want the cougar.
Yeah, right.
I don't want the cougar to die.
Hopefully the cat, you know,
well, someone
goes away.
Someone rough talk it and tell it to get, and then just leave it alone.
Yeah.
I feel bad when a bear or a cougar didn't do anything wrong other than to just venture down a little too close to someone. Then we got to get all murdery on it.
Yeah, beautiful hair.
I bet it did.
Now, they did say they set up a perimeter from the mobile home park there over to the high school.
Is that true?
That is true. The Brook Hollow Mobile Home Park.
God, I love you, Kelso.
But they did not find the cougar. So.
Never change.
Now,
never change.
Okay, would you let your kids walk home from school with a cougar in the area? How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't let my kids walk home in Kelso, period. But
what if they like meth?
Well, that's true. Think they could score some for me? Hey, kids, here's a little something extra. Bring some home for dad. There was a cougar in the area. Would I let my kids walk home? Yep. I'm not much of a helicopter parent, but yeah, I probably might do the...
Pick them up.
Yeah, go pick them up.
Yeah. Better to be safe than sorry, right?
I would think so. Or at least get on a bike and then tell them to pedal really fast. If you see the cougar coming, look, kids, pedal for all you're worth. Yeah, you probably got to be safe on that one. That's the responsible parent thing to do, right? Or tell them to walk in again in a big group and, get a rough talking stick. Teach your kids how to deal with the cougars.
Let's go to Ireland for this next story where a man was late for his flight at the Dublin airport there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ran out onto the tarmac and attempted to flag down the plane.
Did it work?
The answer to that is no.
Oh, because I was going to say, if that worked,
no,
then that
you
man
can't
is a gall-darn national treasure. Well, he apparently did.
Yeah, and all that's going to happen is you're either going to get run over or you're going to get arrested. And in this instance, the man was arrested.
Even get down on the tarmac?
Right? Just think of all the different things that guy doesn't know, like, in order to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know how... Okay, actually, let me ask you this. Is he dumb or is he just crazy?
I think you're... Well,
like, he's off his rocker.
You're dumb.
And he's pissed off, and so he does something irrational, or he's just dumb. Because, like, who thinks that would work? Like, think of all the things he doesn't know in order to think that that would work. Like, he doesn't know that you can't just flag down a plane on the tarmac. Like, who doesn't know that?
Yeah, I don't... I'm still kind of torn between dumb and crazy. Maybe it's a combination of both, because I think if you're dumb, you may not understand, but you're still got to be crazy in order to get down on the tarmac.
Oh, wait. Time out. Can what? I call a quick 10-second timeout?
Sure.
Show timeout.
That's a 15-second. You go to the shoulders.
I'm touching my shoulders here. We missed the best joke from the Coug Talk.
Yeah.
And it's from the Better You Today text line, 55305. And thank you to this listener.
What do we got?
If the cougar, we talked about the cougar jumping out onto the field and grabbing the ball.
Yeah.
And you said, well, do you give it a touchdown? What do you do? Yeah. He says, it wouldn't score. It would coug it.
Bah!
Well played,
well
sir.
Played, well played.
I'm sorry we missed that joke.
Tip of the cap.
Anyway, like this guy. So he was late for his flight, and he had a gal with him, his lady friend.
Did she go down on the tarmac too?
It doesn't say that. The incident took place about 7 a.m. He was agitated, broke through a door leading to the tarmac, and he tried to flag down the aircraft. Moments earlier, he had been inside banging on the window of the terminal asking ground crew to hold the plane. He somehow made it out there, and the plane was taxiing. When police arrived, there was a scuffle, and he was pinned to the tarmac.
Now,
so there's your answer. He was just off his rocker.
He's off his rocker, because I'm looking here at the plane. I thought maybe it was just going to be like one of the little commuter planes, but it's not. It's
no, it's a big-ass... Yeah, like,
does he not understand
the
jetway? That plane's like 20 feet up in the air.
Well, right. It's like, okay, so let's say the guy does stop.
Yeah.
He's like, looks like we left a passenger behind. Let's stop. Oh, how do we get him up here?
What if you let down that little inflatable slide and then he climbs up it? Could you do that? Let him on the plane.
I don't think so.
No, it's against some sort of regulation.
He got arrested for doing that. You can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't run
they
out
frown
on the,
upon that.
You can't run out onto the tarmac and flag down a plane. Although I will say, despite the fact that he's crazy and dumb, I kind of appreciate the spirit of the whole thing. Like, he's a real go-getter. He's like, hey, not taking no for an answer.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I thought he's movies taught us that if you did that, you'd get the girl.
Yeah, I have seen that a time or two, right?
Right. You what is that movie?
You got to flag down the... I think there's been a bunch of those. That seems
generic
to be...
Generic rom-com ABC.
Yeah, you stop her at the gate, and you're like... And then you plead your case to the ticket agent, and then they let you on.
They let you through, and you run down, take the stairs down to the
was
tarmac.
Was that Sleepless in Seattle that had that, or was it...
I don't know. It's the TGI McScratchies. I feel like that's been done a bunch of times in movies. And no one's ever out of breath or anything, right? It's always some, like, dude, he's just running. He gets there. He's not sweaty or disheveled. Like, no one questions him. You can't run through an airport nowadays being
liar,
sweaty
liar.
And frantic.
That's what it is.
That's what it was. Liar.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Sleepless in Seattle to Liar, Liar.
Well, there have been a lot of them.
Yeah, there's been plenty of
those. Wasn't that a thing in Sleepless in Seattle?
He probably tracked her down. That was like in For Love of the Game. He gets her at the airport. But yeah, Liar, Liar, he actually uses the Bluth cart.
Yeah,
the Arrested Development cart with the stairs
he's
on
chasing
top.
It.
Yeah, he chases it down. Who's Harry Crumb had that as well? There's been a bunch of those.
All right, coming up next, do you plan on eating roadkill?
Well, I'm not going to say that the thoughts never crossed my mind, but not in the immediate future.
KGW News has offered us rules to follow when eating roadkill.
Important safety tips.
It's a 444 on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 449 coming up. We will have the Hot 5 at 5. We'll set your college football DVR. Big weekend. And then Joey Harrington. We have fun with audio in the club tonight, but we are in the middle of In the News, and I know that you love your roadkill.
Love my roadkill. I almost hit a squirrel yesterday, and it kind of jammed me up. I thought I did for a minute.
Yeah,
I hate that. I don't like hitting animals.
Who does?
It's no good.
And you look back, and he wasn't there?
He ran right across from me, and I felt the, you feel like the thump.
Thump.
And you're like, oh,
got him.
It's like, I got him. And I felt really bad. And then, yeah, you did the kind of slow down, turn around and look. And I was convinced I was going to see his little squirrel body there. And
writhing in pain.
Yeah. And then just like, dude.
Waiting for you to put him out of his misery.
But then when I turned, I saw him. He was like in the on the median and just doing like little squirrel stuff. And there was no squirrel on the road or whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I
That's
hit.
That's great.
I don't know if I hit, like, there was just a bump in the road or what, but I didn't hit the squirrel. Otherwise.
Maybe you caught his tail.
That's like the super squirrel of all squirrels. And he took a blow from my truck and just kept on going. But it made me feel good. It ruins my whole day, maybe my whole week when I hit an animal. And that's even like a squirrel. If I hit like a dog, I'd be a mess for like a month.
You know, I was playing golf, golf once. I've done that before.
You hit a dog?
Played golf. No, no. Sorry, I have not hit a dog.
Me neither.
That would kill me. But I was playing golf, and there was a hole that was right by a road there, and this woman was walking her dog, and she let the dog off the leash.
Oh no!
Yeah.
And you saw it?
Yep. And saw it. It happened right in front of us. Ooh. It was horrifying, and I will never forget the sound of the dog. And then the woman came down and grabbed the dog, and the dog, you know, then sort of went silent.
Yeah.
But she did get in the car with the guy who hit, the guy was, felt horrible.
Yeah.
And, but the dog literally darted out right in front of him, and the guy took the woman and the dog, and they turned around and went out of the golf course. And I think they were, I feel like in my head, I have made that out to be that the dog had a chance to live,
yeah,
and that the dog lives today and lives happily ever after.
And maybe the couple got together, and it's like the greatest love story of all time.
And now they do it.
Yes, all the time while the dog awkwardly watches.
Oh, you ran over my dog in the road?
Yeah, it was horrible. Dude, it was horrible. It took me a while to gather myself. Everybody else was just like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, I had to shoot a deer that got hit by a car once, and to this day... I'm not okay with it.
I've seen guys doing that on the side of the road.
Yeah, I was just out by my house when I lived in the country, and right there on the side of the road, there was this deer, and it was on its back and was flailing around, and kind of got out to look at it, and you could just see all the legs were just mangled, and one was just like hanging off, and the poor thing was just screaming and freaking out and making these awful noises. And so I went up to the house and went back and did it, and it was, it's not good. I'm not into killing anything.
So if you want
a spider or a snake,
if you want to scoop up a dead animal on the highway and bring it home for dinner, you will be allowed to do that in Oregon beginning January 1, 2019.
Really?
Yep. There are some rules, though, for removing roadkill.
There's rules now? So technically now I can't go scoop up like a dead possum and make some possum stew? I can't do that? That's against the law?
One, they warn you, you are eating at your own risk.
Rabies and whatnot.
It is up to each person to decide whether the meat is appropriate to eat.
God.
Here is a breakdown of 9 rules to follow if you want to dine upon filet mig roadkill.
Really? There's 9 rules and regulations?
Can I just tell you that even the thought of this makes me want to vomit?
This is according to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. Mike, you're a city boy, though. You're a city slicker.
I know, and it makes me want to vomit.
No, this shouldn't be a thing. This is a thing in Kelso. It should not be a thing in civilized society. Let Kelso do Kelso things.
Only salvage the animals for consumption. In other words, do not run them over to eat them.
Can I make a confession here?
You ran over an elk?
No, but
on purpose?
My grandpa.
To eat it?
My dad's father, he welded. They lived in Utah, and he welded bed frames on the front of an old brown Dodge truck, and then he would drive around and look to run over things, and then he would call, like there was a hotline you could call, like if you found a deer on the side of the road, and he would tell them, and then he would harvest them because he didn't want to pay for like hunting fees and whatnot. So he did. He made a deer death machine out of like a 1972 Dodge Adventurer truck, and he would run down animals.
What is the matter with you?
And then scoop them up and take them and clean them and eat them. That was a thing that one Newell K. Brown did in Utah.
Now, if you see a deer or elk, you have to turn in the head and antlers.
Oh, you don't get to keep the... Oh, they probably don't want people running it over for trophies.
Sure.
Yeah.
That seems weird, but okay. In other words, here's the deer head. I took the rest.
I think that's the thing, is I think they're trying to eliminate, maybe with that kind of the whole trophy hunting thing.
If you salvage a roadkill deer or elk, you must complete a free online permit within 24 hours and provide information, including the elk's name.
His
driver's license.
Date of birth and death. That's kind of what my grandpa had to do. He had to call it in and like report it and be like, hey, I hit it here. And after like the 5th or 6th one, they started getting wise to him. So then he would have other people call it in.
Here's one. How about this? Oh, well, another one is you have to remove the carcass. You can't just take what you want and then leave it.
Yeah.
You have to remove it.
Yeah, take the whole thing.
But how about this one? If the animal is put down for suffering, like you're talking about,
sure,
only the driver can salvage it. So it says, in cases where a deer or elk is struck, injured, and then put down to alleviate suffering, only the driver of the vehicle that struck the animal may salvage the carcass.
Oh.
So that's like, stupid, because what if, like, yeah, I hit it, and I don't want it, but I'm, like, standing there like, oh, my God, and I don't have a gun, and then some guy with a gun comes by and takes care of business and puts it out of its misery, and then he's like, well, are you going to take that? I'm like, no. Then he can have it.
Does seem a bit arbitrary,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, he should be able to have it.
Well, like with mine, I just left it on the side of the road. Like, I didn't want it; I just left it there. At least it was dead. Yeah, that's kind of a strange.
You cannot sell the meat; that's prohibited.
Okay,
they will not let you do that. The state of Oregon is not liable for any loss or damage arising from recovery, possession, use, transport, or consumption of deer or elk salvaged.
This just seems like such a strange thing to have all these rules to.
And it is deer and elk only.
Okay.
So
I can't.
The trash pandas and the opossums.
It doesn't work for the trash panda. Why not? Why doesn't it work for the possum?
I would.
This is horse crap.
Don't you think some people do take those?
What?
Like dead raccoons and,
sure.
and
yeah.
squirrels. And
I've seen those shows like on
they
the,
take them, dude.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of people.
Whether
that,
it be for the fur or
the meat.
The meat.
Yeah.
They're getting scooped up.
Yeah, I think that's a real thing. I think in Florida, that's a currency too. Like possum teeth, I think you can barter and trade.
It's like Bitcoin.
Yeah, for goods and services down in the deep south. I think that's what it is. Like, you know, I need some tree bark for some sort of herbal remedy, and I trade you some possum teeth for it, and we shake hands and call it good. Welcome to Florida.
All right, that's in the news for October 12, 2018. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.